Juba University is holding a public discussion on a research paper called South Sudan Lungs, Sustaining the Sud Under Climate and Social Economic Change. The event is organized by the White Nile and Sud Center. The author and researcher of the paper, Deng Majokchol, will be presenting his research findings and possibly solutions to the issues affecting the Sud area and the surrounding population that is also affected and also benefits from the large swamp. And so Deng Majokchol is a lead researcher on sustaining the Sud under climate and socioeconomics change. And at this event, as he does his presentation, he will be able to also provide the recommended solutions on sustaining the Sud. And so he joins us now this morning to give us a sneak peek at what is to be expected during the public lecture. Good morning, Deng Majok, and thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Louise Kaden. Great to be with you this morning. How are you?
I am fine, thank you. I trust you are preparing for your presentation. Thank you for making the time on Miraya Breakfast Show. So let's start off with a brief look at what this research is all about and what are some of your findings.
Yeah, thank you very much for that question. As Louis mentioned, I am Deng Majokchol. This research is all about getting the country, the Republic of South Sudan, a sense of direction as far as the sustainable management of water resources. It is also about the exposure of the communities and the population to flood risk. We have seen more recently from 2019 to 2022. The research is also about putting, if you will, to rest a number of ideas and proposals that may have come to a discussion, including the 2022 events on the issues of dredging, issues of flood risk management, issues of talks about the resumption of Yongle Canal. And so the research is about engaging the multi-stakeholders, including the communities and the population that are in the floodplain. Also, the policymakers, both at the national level, the state level, counties level, and the PIAM levels, and also practitioners in the areas of flood risk, including the NGOs, the national NGOs and the international NGOs, and some of the UN agencies that are here across South Sudan and have been helping in the areas of humanitarian emergency as well as flood risk resiliency. So that is what the research is all about, mapping out flood hazard and population exposure and looking into creating resiliency plan for the communities and the population in the South floodplain.
Okay, and thank you for just giving us that brief highlight on what the whole research paper is about. And so what exactly were your findings, and how can especially the issues that come with the Sud area, how the population is affected, but also what the population is doing to negatively affect the swamp? What were your findings and what can be done?
Yes, thank you very much. The findings, and especially there are two phases of these studies. One is on the quantitative aspects of the research, and this is dealing with climatic and hydrological modeling, where we model how much water we will have and how much extreme will this flooding get or even drought. And so in that regard, there is tremendous exposure of population in the Sud region. We are talking about 2 million population simulated to be exposed to flooding in the next decade, and there is a trend of the of increased intensity and increased frequency of this flooding that we observe in this simulated modeling. On the other hand, we also during the qualitative research in which I engage the communities and population in Upper Nile State, in Jonglei State, in Unity State, in Werribee State, and in Lake State and part of Central Equatoria. There are a number of findings that have really come out as striking, as for example, some of the places have been abandoned completely because they are submerged underwater. But there are also some communities and small population of people who have remained in this place. These population have limited opportunity to migrate away from the flood, and they are trying to make a living from the very same flood by depending on the resources that comes with flood, like fishery and other resources. So despite dire human suffering, the local population exhibit resiliency, if you will. There is also a finding on the human settlement that are gravely in proximity to the permanent water body. These are communities and settlements right within the floodplain. And you can see through the ground observation, I travel from one county to another. I also have aerial view. I was supported by Samaritan Purse, an NGO's organization that gave me a plane. And I flew low with the group.
When were you able to do this?
The cameraman, we have the reporter.
Yes, Majok.
I was able to do this on Monday.
Oh, okay, okay.
On Monday this week. Mm-hmm. And we flew here from Jipo on a low altitude, 4,000 feet, over Mangala. And we flew over the Sat Extan, over Bo Town in Jonglei, also Yurul Town in Lake State. And we were heading to Mayendi County in Unity State, where we landed briefly. And so all of this has shown that there are very isolated villages and population that you can see right within the Sat floodplain, including some of the islands that could be submerged any time should the rain fall as predicted this year, because there's already tremendous water is still on the ground. There's also wisdom, the indigenous wisdom that I have discovered from engaging with various community in their life experience with flooding. I have also discovered that women are uniquely affected by the impacts of flooding, both in terms of their health,
okay,
as well as in terms of their responsibilities.
And what are these unique effects for women?
One of the effects in terms of their health, and this is what I call health hazard, is that women have been affected in terms of infection, and some of the women have not been able to conceive since 2019 as a result of being in the flood. The other unique effect is the responsibility in the house. Some of the men or the husband have gone somewhere far away in an effort to look for, supplies or just means of earning a living. And women are left alone in the house. There are times they have to take care of dykes like 24 hours. And this has created psychological, emotional stress on them. And this has translated into physical health hazard. There are also cases where women have just been affected in terms of close proximity, and especially in a very tight space where you bring people into IDP camps, and you have this little carrying capacity in this area for a huge population in one area. And as a result, health hazard has emerged. Sickness, diseases such as STD, including AIDS, multiply in such tight space, and women have become victims of those as well.
Okay, and so looking at all the key findings you've had, the impacts on the population and on the Sat area as well from the population, what are some of the key recommended measures to preserve the swamp, but also to help the population live in a sustainable way, where they benefit from the swamp, but also are able to reduce the challenges they face being near the swamp itself?
Yeah, Lucy, that is a very good question, and one that goes to the center of this research. What this scientific inquiry is all about is realizing that the population and the communities in the SAT region, and the SAT region is defined here broadly, but it is the state of Unity, Upper Nile, Yongle, Lake State, Wera. And so here the population is in a bind. On one hand, they would like to live with water because they drive their livelihood from the water resources and from the local environment. So they cannot do without the SAT itself, and they cannot do without the local resources that are supported by the SAT ecosystem. But on the other hand, they have very limited capacity to deal with extreme flooding, especially the one we have seen more recently from 2019 to 2022. And also historically, the one that happened in 1960s, and more so in 1916 to 17, and so many other extreme events. And so, in this way, number of the recommendations are, for example, we have to preserve the site in the sense that water pollution is a danger to the SAT water resources and to the entire ecosystem. And pollution can come in many ways. Pollution can come from the way the communities and the population deal with the water resources in their local environment. And this pollution can travel as far as deep in the SAT. Pollution in terms of the oil extraction that are happening in Upper Nile and in Unity State and part of Yongle. Because these oil extraction, unfortunately, is happening right within the SAT floodplain. And there are danger in realizing that these pollutants can travel from the oil field area if it is not managed well and contained well, and can pollute the entire SAT region. Another way that the community could cause deforestation out of the SAT wetland is what you mentioned earlier in your earlier program, and that is illegal logging. And this illegal logging, for whatever reason, either for commercial purposes when it comes to the production of charcoal or for family uses, all of these are contributing to deforestation. I also flew low over Maban area when I was traveling from Malakal to Maban. And you can see literally on the plane from the aerial view the evidence of deforestation. I was also in Maban on the ground in 2019 and 2020, and I realized that the level, the speed with which the trees are cut down is just amazing. And if you create deforestation out of the vegetation of the sap, you are reducing rainfall, because it is this vegetation that produces evapotranspiration and that contributes to the rainfall. And if you continue at this scale and with this speed, with this illegal logging, you are definitely contributing to the destruction of the site itself. Then the other approaches that could create deforestation in the site are uncoordinated small projects.
Yes,
that can inadvertently create all of this deforestation as well.
Yes,
Lucy. So one of the recommendations is that if we are going to have any project, either physical infrastructure intervention of a major nature, or we are going to have multiple approaches in terms of a solution to flooding within the SAT basin, we ought to approach this from evidence base, using scientific approach, including carrying out environmental, social impact assessment, as well as feasibility study, before embarking on such projects, because they can inadvertently create maladaptation and also resolve into the reduction of the certain extent. Today, Lucy, you may realize the contribution of the SAT resources, even in the midst of flooding. The amount of fish that have been that has been really fished out of this flood is remarkable. And it goes not only to the population within the SAT or South Sudan. It has been imported beyond, they exported beyond the borders of South Sudan, to DRC, to Uganda, and several other countries. It is tremendous resources we have. Also, the potential for ecotourism with the wildlife that depends on these SAT water resources and the floodplain grassland. So any approach that we are going to have will need to consider number of things, including the wildlife migration and the wildlife as part of the ecosystem, for example. And so I would say that what I recommend for South Sudan is to come back as a country. Every branch of the government of South Sudan has a role to play in the importance of the water resources. The legislature need to come up with some of the laws that guide and protect the SAT wetland and also ensure that there is sustainable development among the people and the population that have limited capacity to cope with flooding. In this research, I have discovered the importance of understanding the slope of the or the gradient within the SAT floodplain.
Yes.
Not only where the sources of water come, but hydraulic, where the physics of the water, where that the water flow to. This is all important for us to understand before embarking on major physical infrastructure.
Okay, and thank you for highlighting this as well. Now, earlier, as you mentioned, one key issue we talked about was the deforestation, massive deforestation because of the illegal logging in parts of the country, unregulated logging. And talking about the SUD as well and why it's important as a natural resource, what is your message to the public and the government on the importance of conservation of these national resources?
These natural resources is exactly as I described on the title of my research, the lungs of South Sudan. And as you know, human being, in terms of this analogy, cannot live without the function of the lungs. In the same way, the country cannot live without the viability of the SAT basin, the Bahar Ghazal River basin, the Sobat River basin, all of these come together as a mighty resources for the country. And if this is preserved, it is going to continue to be the backbone of the country economy, to be the backbones of the transformation of the country in terms of human progression. What I have found out, Lucy, from the population that I have engaged across the country, is that this population would like to live with this water. They want to live with this water, these water resources. They recognize it's important, and they recognize that this fresh water is really very rare. If you look around the world, most of the places on the globe are dealing with water stress, limited water. Much less about fresh water. We are blessed with groundwater, and this groundwater is because of the SAT present, because that seasonal flooding in the SAT is what recharged the groundwater. This water in the SAT, which is in forms of their flood extent, have been acting as a purifying mechanism for the pollutant in the water. As you know, the population in the SAT have not had any great amenities. They don't have any proper latrine or toilet. They have open latrine. And sometimes there are actually open defecation. And all of this could cause public health hazard, potential outbreak of serious waterborne diseases. But because of the SAT purification, of this pollutant. We have been lucky enough not to witness such a large-scale outbreak of waterborne diseases. And so this is so important in the sense that other resources cannot be recreated. If oil, for example, or gold or any other minerals are exploited to extinction, you cannot recreate them. But we have this water, fresh water here, that need to be managed very well, because it is what the country is all about. This country is so beautiful. If we manage,
I agree on that,
to control the flooding,
mm-hmm.
if we manage to control the flooding and ensure the population live on the dry land, and at the same time we have sustainable management of these water resources, this is a beautiful country. We can have the human system co-evolve with the natural system together, hand in hand.
Thank you so much for this deep and elaborate explanation of your findings for your report, South Sudan Lungs, Sustaining the SUD Under Climate and Social Economics Change. This is just 10 minutes of a three-hour lecture that will be taking place later at the University of Juba. So just about the event, who will be there and is the public invited to join in and attend?
Yeah, thank you very much, Lucy. The White Nile and the SUD Center have invited the general public to attend this event. And it will happen right in the Senate Hall at University of Juba. And so the public is welcome. We have also reached out to relevant institutions within the national government and the state government, people who are working in the water sector. The environmental arena are actually invited. NGOs, both national NGOs and international NGOs who are also working in the areas of flood risk management. We have also extended invitation to some of the embassies here in Juba, and especially the embassy of the Netherlands.
Yes.
The Norwegian embassy, the American embassy. And the rest, of course,
okay.
who have been keen on this flooding and have also been helping in humanitarian emergency situation and have had to grapple with flooding as well. So all of these people have been invited.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, and all the best with the presentation later. Thank you.